Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello down there indeed. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. 17 points clear at the top of the league, ladies and gentlemen. It has been some week to be a Falkirk Bairn, and we will talk about it today. We are here for it. Hello, it is Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much. And remember, if you are in the South Lanarkshire area, it's currently minus 17, so pop on your jacket.
Pop a jacket on.
Yeah, do that. Pop your jack on. That there is the dulcet tones of the Ginger God of Pod, the main man, the one-man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. It's been a belter of a week, as a
what
banner.
A week. What
belter
a week.
Of the week.
Didn't get to Kelty myself, Ross. I know you were there yesterday, but obviously the Montrose game. Wow, just I can't wait to talk about it. I really can't.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. It's going to be good.
Absolutely. We'll get into the matches with some special guest pundits from the club. The commercial team are going to join us and we'll probably sell you something by the end of this podcast. So there you go. But first of all, I've got to say thank you very much. Guest sponsors on this week's episode, Norris Landscapes. Now, it's that time of the year, Ross, where you're looking at your garden, you're thinking, I've got to do something about it. I mean, I'm not green-fingered, Ross. You probably are. I think you're not.
No, not really. I like to make sure, like, obviously I've got a bar at the house outside, and I like to make sure that's all tidy and stuff, but the garden part, no, not really.
No, no, this is what you want to do. You want to get Norris Landscapes on the case, right? They're jumped on board to support us. If you've been to the Falkirk Stadium this season, you might have noticed their advertising board at the front of the ultra sections in the Ken McAllister stand. You'll see them there. That's advertised. And it's actually Liam Norris, who has been part of the ground staff for the past year. It's a business that he owns and obviously does this as well as working with the club. He'll provide a range of services from grass cutting to lawn care to aeration, cleanups, reseeding and much more. So this is the time of the year you want to be getting in touch with Liam and getting your garden sorted without, you know, it's that way you get to a Sunday, oh Christ, I cannot be hard. I just want to sit down and watch the football this afternoon. Well, you get Liam will do it all for you. He'll sort out your garden. If you want any landscaping jobs, he is going to get it sorted. So get in touch with Liam. Right, listen, all the details, his number and how you need to do that is below, but I'll give it to you just now as well. 07761 408 582 07761 408 582, or you get Liam on Norris Landscapes on Instagram, where you can see his lovely work and what he does, and he'll be take care of all your landscaping needs. So if you are looking out the window just now going, oh Jesus, that garden is needing some work, get in touch with Liam. Like I say, all the details are below, and we thank them for jumping on board with this week's episode of Falkirk Daft. And we've got big news of our own here in Falkirk Daft. We are going live, everyone. Live. Yeah. Falkirk Daft Live is happening. It is our end of season party, and it's going to be at Behind the Wall on Friday, the 3rd of May, Ross.
Indeed, looking forward to it, mate. This one's been in the fireworks for, well, actually for quite a while, because we've been chatting to Brian on and off for quite some time about doing something, and it just feels like the right time to be doing this, doesn't it?
It does. So what we're going to do, right, we are going to have, it's the last game of the season on the 4th, but let's get bevied before it, will we? We're going to go into Behind the Wall, upstairs Behind the Wall. What we're going to be doing is looking back at the season, talking to you guys, getting your thoughts on the season as a whole. We will be getting special guests along, TBC. What we'll do also is we'll do a big Falkirk quiz on the night, prizes to be won. And we did it at the speakers, the Fortress Brockville night, a big visit to the big blue chair so adults can win a captain's armband as well. So we'll be doing that. Plus, what we thought we'd do as well is give away our own awards of the season. So the Falkirk Daft Awards, as voted for by you guys. So we'll be looking for the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year, the Falkirk Dafty of the Year, and Falkirk Daft Goal of the Year as well. So that will all be happening at Behind the Wall on the 3rd of May. Tickets are on sale now. They are in the link below. You'll get us on Eventbrite. £12.50 a ticket. Hopefully it'll be a great night. And obviously it's the eve of the season finale where hopefully we'll be seeing the Bairns lifting the League One trophy. So that's all happening Behind the Wall, 3rd of May. Come along. Love to see you there. We'll have a laugh anyway. We'll talk nonsense. And like I say, lots to look forward to. And it should be a great night, Ross.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I think it all sounds great. And we love the Fortress Brockville event, and we know that we're going to do stuff with the club soon again as well. But in terms of this is our own event. We've not got anyone else involved apart from Mr. Flynn at Behind the Wall, which Brian's been really supportive, and he'll continue to be as well, I know. And just really excited. Limited to 100 tickets, I think, John. So
yeah, they'll be like hotcakes, Ross. They all want to come and see the ginger god of pod himself in the flesh. So if you want to come and join us, have a few bevvies, and it'll be a cracking night. Like you say, it's the before the last game of the season, so it should be a right good laugh. So get your tickets now. All the links are below for that. What a week it's been. We're sitting here, Falkirk Daft lives announced, and you know what else was announced this week? Leon McCann and Callum Morrison extending their contracts until 2026. Delighted with that, Ross.
Amazing news. I think we were all really chuffed with Leon getting announced, and then the icing on the cake with CM7 getting announced. And it was really nice the way the club did it as well. They put that little teasing video out, didn't they? Just of 10, 15 minutes beforehand. And what a statement it is, John. Like, seriously, that is a massive statement.
It is huge. I mean, I think, as Falkirk supporters, we'd all sort of said, well, Callum will go at the end of the season, you know. And yeah. I don't think anyone begrudged him, you know what I mean? he's done 4 years at the club, and he's been a great, you know, he's really, the last two seasons, he's been absolutely outstanding, really stepped up his game. And, you know, no one would begrudge. And I'm astounded, absolutely astounded, and this is brilliant for Falkirk, that you expect them to go to a Motherwell or a Partick Thistle or, you know, Dundee United, because he's that good. He should be playing in the Premiership. But yeah, the fact that he's stayed with Falkirk, you know, hats off to John and Paul and the board, you know, for getting this deal done and getting him signed up, because it's huge. And like you say, Ross, a huge statement of intent for the club as well.
It is. And I know you just mentioned, obviously, he should be playing at a higher level. Hopefully, it's not done and dusted yet, but we're hoping he's obviously going to be a Championship player for us. And who knows, in his second season, could he be a Premiership player if we were to be able to do an outstanding achievement of trying to do two sort of back-to-back.
Won't you be counting any chickens yet, Ross?
No, I'm already there, the champions.
God, I'm almost going to whisper it, but 17 points clear. It would be something.
Fuck up of all fuck ups if we managed to do this now, which we won't.
And Leon McCann as well. We've talked consistently about Leon McCann and his consistency. He's been great, you know, and like in his interviews and John McGlynn's interviews recently, it was no secret that he wasn't fancied at left back. But since, you know, obviously Sean Mackey had his injury quite early on in his Falkirk career, he's made that left back role his own, you know, and he is Mr. Consistent. He's always generally a 7 out of 10, Leon.
Yeah, no, he's been phenomenal. And do you know what I really liked? And he made mention of it in his interview on Friday. He's been here through the shit as well, as has Callum, for that matter, right? They've seen what the club looks and feels like almost at its worst place. Now enjoy where it is. And don't get me wrong, we're top of League One just now, right? That's not the end goal for anybody at Falkirk Football Club. We want to be much higher in the country and the setup. But the club on and off the park look far different to now as to when Leon and Callum first signed.
Yeah, absolutely. And brilliant that the guys are staying on. and long may it continue. You know, I think looking ahead to next season, you know, when you look at, we've got all the big hitters now, pretty much. Fingers crossed, Finn Yeats is the next one that we announce. I think there'll be a lot of clubs looking at him as well, just at his, the age he's at and how well he's performed in League One. So fingers crossed we can get Finn tied down as well. And, you know, then you've got the basis of your team for next year, pretty much. When you look at, look down that first team, you go, great. So because Miller and Lang, we know, are both tied in to deals until the end of next season as well. So
Spencer to Endo as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you're right. Get Finn Yeats.
We're retaining that nucleus of the squad, which is brilliant. So fingers crossed, we see Finn signing up as well. More great news as well. We think we put it out on our social medias, but Falkirk Daft meets Sammy McGivern is going to be out this Thursday. We record a special episode of the podcast with the Ginger God, the original Ginger God himself, and that'll be out this Thursday, Ross.
Yeah, it was brilliant catching up with Sammy, and I'm really excited for everyone to kind of hear the chat that we had between the three of us. Sammy's a great guy. Anybody who's ever met him at a Falkirk game in recent times as a guest along as the club, or obviously as part of the commercial team in recent years as well, he's infectious. So he's also hinted he may be able to come along to our end of season party as well, which would be amazing.
That'd be amazing. It'd be great. I mean, like we talked about, obviously it's hat trick against Airdrie. There's, you know, working alongside Jim Jeffries, how he ended up at the club. Obviously, we had to mention Saul Coates as well. And actually, he did give some stuff away. Everyone's been a bit tight-lipped about Saul Coates, but we got into a wee bit of knowledge on Saul Coates and what happened and how it happened on that infamous trip down for the players there. But listen to that. That's out this Thursday. It's the 29th of February, so an extra day in the year. So we thought we'd give you an extra podcast. So there you go. Look out for that dropping on your chat on the YouTube channel and wherever you get your podcast this Thursday. Ross, now you've been on our group chat like saying, everyone, away tickets are on sale now for Cove, Stirling and Queen of the South. We saw what happened at the weekend there at Kelty. I mean, it was pretty much sold out and everyone was trying to rush for tickets and going, I've done, you get a ticket, and can someone repost and let me know if I can get a ticket? Warning, tickets are now on sale for Cove, Stirling and Queen of the South, Ross.
Yes, they are. And I think the Cove game is obviously an evening game, so we're probably, I don't think we're at risk of selling out. Plus, that won't be a game where we potentially could win the league. However, there are mathematical scenarios where Stirling, even Stirling in a fortnight's time, becomes into play. You've got Queen of the South away the week after. We've got Edinburgh at home, and then we finish off the March with Montrose away. Now, Montrose is the only game out of all of these games that tickets aren't on sale for yet. Every other ground has tickets on sale. So if you want to be at the game, if you want to make sure you're there just in case it happens, you need to buy a ticket. Because as you said, John, on Saturday, yesterday, 11 o'clock in the morning, the ticket sold out for Kelty. So, and although I'm dubious, I think they could have got more people in there. It wasn't like sardines or anything. They probably could have got more in. But 1,100 Bairns fans there yesterday. So officially a sellout. So be there, get your tickets now.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Benetchin, we've got two games to speak about from this week. Montrose on Tuesday and, of course, the Kelty Hearts game yesterday. And let's get into, as I said, special guests from the club. It's the guys who bring in the big bucks. It is the commercial team. Paddy and Graham, welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Happy to be here, guys. How are we doing?
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
We're down, one of the three amigos is missing, Mr. Graham Carbis, who's on the commercial team as well. He can't make it tonight, but we've got the two handsome ones on anyway, boys, eh?
Absolutely, can't argue with that.
Exactly, if you're not seeing the YouTube version, you get on now if you're just listening to it, because you're missing a treat here, ladies. Before we get into, you know, the games and we go through all the rigmarole, just can you give us a kind of insight into what you guys actually do at the club? I know it sounds simple, you know, it's like, because basically you're there just sell. And I mean, Graham, we'll kick off with you, because you're obviously been there for a while now. What does a typical day or week look like from your perspective?
It varies week to week, but obviously we've got gold, silver and bronze sponsorship sponsors. So we engage with the fans and go right from the front of the shirt, which is top end. It could be the Benny Tees, who's our family member sponsorship, right down to player strips, boots. So it varies, totally varies. We're constantly selling boards, which are renewed, which is fantastic. But there's something from every person's budget. Any Falkirk fan that even wants to get a Go Flash, right up to the top end, there's something for everybody's budget. And we're just grateful for all the business that the fans are giving us. So it's a very varied week. But also, we've got other things that we do. Paddy gets heavily involved with the schools. I've done a schools visit. We've done quite a lot of community work. Recently, we've just given a signed talk to the community hospital down in Falkirk. We've got carers coming in from Kinnaird People's Home. So it's very varied. We sometimes had visits with 50, over 50 Canadians came in last year. Drop of a hat. Somebody had to show them around, show them into the dressing rooms, etc. So it's a very varied thing. Even things like sorting out Armistice Day, there's a lot of genital tasks, like Armistice Day, etc. So it's very, very varied and very changeable as well, John.
Yeah. Paddy, do you go out and do you do a lot of hot calling around local businesses and things like that and just picking up the phones and, hey, do you want to come and sponsor Falkirk?
So it really does vary. So some people might come into the club and they say, I've got X budget or I've got these needs or these objectives I want to achieve. What do you have for us? And then it's up to us to tailor a package that suits them. But then, yeah, there is an element of going out and reaching out to the community. The saying, you know, if you build it, they'll come, isn't true. You do need to go and reach out to them. And you'd be amazed the amount of people that went to businesses that don't know what the club offers. And then as soon as you extend the invite to come in for a coffee and for a tour and let them know what we do have, they actually think, oh, do you know what? This could work really well for us. So to give an example, Garrick, who came in as a tickets for school sponsor at the start of the season, I reached out to Martin, who runs the depot there. And he was like, to be honest, it is something I'd be interested in, but didn't even know how to get in touch or who to get in touch with. So, you know, obviously we had an initial conversation and that led into them helping us do all the good work we do in school. So, yeah, it's a bit of both. And the job is varied. So a big part of mine is commercial function, like both the Grahams. So trying to get in new partners and looking after them once they are in. But then my job also extends to, you know, venue hires, pitch hire. I work quite closely with the media team, with a lot of the email marketing and stuff like that. So no day is ever the same, but that's probably one of the more enjoyable aspects of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, how hard, like, selling a football club, you know, I mean, you're effectively, both of you salesmen, and effectively selling the football club. I mean, how hard is it?
Well, considering the, maybe it's not been great for the last 5 years, it's not been that easy, John, but a lot of the sponsors we have are actually fans. And they like what's going on and off the pitch. I think the two most important people at the club are John McGlynn and Paul Smith, because they have helped us, people to believe in the club again. For these are the two most important people in my eyes. And people see that things are moving in the right direction. And although John would say, you know, it's one game at a time, which I totally agree with, I think things are moving. Things are very exciting at the moment. And I think that has helped attract business to the club.
Yeah. Graham, you're saying that John and Paul are the reason then?
I think so. I think they're the two most important people at the club. I mean, they're just so measured, and it's just so exciting at the moment. You can feel the buzz at the games. I mean, you obviously might be at Kelty yesterday. It's just a pleasure to have them about the club. And for me, these are the two most important people, and people actually believe in them. And I think the sponsors want part of that. They want part of the excitement. They want to grow. They want to go into our 150th year in 2026 as being a partner. And that is one of the major attractions as well, the fact that the club is on its way back. For example, Academy sponsor, Roger in SLS Supply, he says it's good to be back, to do that song, good to be back. So he's absolutely delighted to re-engage.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it does make you boys' jobs a bit easier when we're successful. I guess it's when it's tough. It's when, say, a few seasons back, your boys' job turns a wee bit tougher at that point when the supporters are disgruntled. But yeah, is there anything, Paddy, that's still available for sponsor? Because you've got everything sponsored, haven't you?
There's always something available, John.
Yeah, so I know.
All you need to do is get in touch, and then we'll figure out something for you, whether it's, you know, advertising boards starting as low as 525 plus for that.
Oh, lovely. He's getting the sales pattern now already.
Everything in between. And that's whether you're a business or you're an individual fan. Obviously, you've got the speakers night. Fans can come along to that and play their part. So all you need to do is get in touch. We don't bite. So,
Paddy, what's the most random thing you've had sponsored so far? Obviously, we know the armband sponsor, but what's the most random thing that you've had sponsored?
So on the face of it, you probably have to say the attendance sponsorship that the Ultimate 1876 took. So you think, oh, that might sound made up. But when you think about it, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm a wee bit of a attendance geek. I'll always check it, see what it is. And you'll find that the posts at the end of the game about attendance are actually one of the most interacted with. So if you've
got
you've got your logo on that, it's a good place to be.
There you go, everyone. I think
it fits Ultras really well because they've absolutely killed it this season, haven't they?
I was just going to say that Ultras have been incredibly good for the club. I mean, I'm excited for the atmosphere, and John Paul said that that's the one biggest thing about the atmosphere at home games. It's no longer like a library to a certain extent, and it's so vibrant. So thanks to the Ultras building up that atmosphere, it's incredible. The other sponsor we had was Sean Mackey's headband. Mr. Steele.
Is there anything of Tom Lang's that John can sponsor at all? Or?
Tom Lang's Bobby.
I think we need to set some boundaries there.
Brilliant. Boys, the great thing about you guys working, obviously, you are both Falkirk supporters. I mean, and that's what the great thing is when you walk into the club. Everyone, pretty much, from Jamie, you guys, that whole, there's just this navy blue blood which currently flows through the club, which I don't think we've had that often. I mean, how much of a buzz is you for you guys to walk through to your work every day and think, I actually work for Falkirk?
It's massive. When I was younger, I always wanted to work in football because I love football. So the thinking was, if you enjoy your work, you never work a day in your life. Did I think my first full-time role in football would be at the club I actually support? No, but it's brilliant. There was a flip side to that. You know, you need to regulate your emotions a bit. So when you get beat, you can't be down in the mud. Or if Kai Kennedy puts one in the top corner against Ayr, you can't be running around the Brockville Lounge swinging your tie above your head or anything like that. You need to regulate your emotions, and it works both ways, but it is good. It's enjoyable.
Yeah, I've got to confess, when Ross McKeever scored the equaliser up at Cobh, I was almost on the pitch. I've been wondering, over the back, and Paddy says, "Stay, don't go over."
You're not supposed to tell them that, Graham.
Graham, you've got previous, I believe you sailed away to in a match dressed as a pariah once.
Yes, the Bishop's Chair Supports Club, way back in 2019, around April, we were playing a game against Dunfermline, and David Lapsley, it was David and Craig's birthdays that day. So what we did is we sailed from, went to the Hawes Inn at Queensferry. We hired a motorboat, and there was about eight of us dressed as pirates. We were piped on by Fraser the Piper. A lot of American tourists thought it was actually a spectacle. And this American said, "Wow, this is amazing. What's this all about?" And I said, "Well, it's Treasure Island." She said, wow. So we went across, we made fish. Tom had fish to show the video as well. Ian Sneddon was on board. We got to Charleston on the pier. We walked around the seaweed, and then a man's head popped up out of a boat, and he said, "Who are you, bunch of varmints?" He was a Dunfermline fan, and I think it was a stronger word than that, by the way. Then we went to the Elgin Hotel, had a few pints there. I looked up the galley kitchen. I'm about to have some food. Realised the chef had an Dunfermline top on. I said, "Cancel the food. No food, please." So the road was in circles of eight, straight across, picked up by a minibus, took us to the game, dressed as pirates, and then won 1-0. Scorer was Davis. What a day it was.
I remember that. That was the late goal from Davis, wasn't it?
It was incredible. It just capped a fantastic day. But then we repeated the boat again a couple of years later as well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant. That sounds like a good laugh. Well, listen, we'll get into the games because I'm interested in getting your perspectives. But we've got a competition. Before we get into that, Ross, the club have kindly donated 2 tickets to the Falkirk SE Speakers Night and 2 tickets to the final home match against Awa for the runner-up as well.
Yeah, really generous, boys. Thank you so much. We've got a question to put to everyone. In terms of getting in touch, drop us a DM, reply to our post, whatever suits you. To do that. But yeah, we've got 2 tickets to the Falkirk FC Speakers Night, which, if the boys will keep me right, is Friday the 8th of March.
Yes.
Time. Two tickets to the final home game, which will hopefully be a piece of silverware getting held aloft by Stephen McGinn and Paul Donaldson. That would be nice, boys, wouldn't it? That would be nice. But yeah, we've got a question. So how many sponsors make up the Legend Stand at the Falkirk Stadium? So how many sponsors make up the Legend Stand at Falkirk Stadium? Drop us a DM, reply to one of our tweets or Facebook posts, and we will pick a winner before the next episode of the podcast, just so we give, especially for the Speakers Night, to give the winners a bit of notice as well.
Yeah, and is there tickets still available for the Speakers Night, boys?
There's a few, so obviously it's going to be a great night, but most importantly, it's the biggest fundraiser in the year for the Falkirk Academy, so even if you're unsuccessful, there are still tickets on sale. So if you can, get yourself along. It'll be a good night.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. I mean, obviously, we brought in the modern day apprentices on the back of this. We raised about 30K last year. We need that money to get more apprentices in. We've got Peter Martin, who's probably the finest host on the circuit. And we also have John Gagan, who, ex-Motherwell, he's one of the funniest gentlemen on the circuit as well. So
genuinely, if you've not seen John Gagan before, get on with the Speakers Night. You will soar from laughing. Absolutely. So it's Friday the 8th of March at the Enshira. Get the dates today. Like Paddy says, tickets still available. Head to falkirkfc.co.uk and you'll get your tickets sorted for that. It's going to be a cracking night. I tell you what though, Ross, you've missed the chance, boys, there as well. We could have set the question, what should Graham and Paddy get sponsored next? Yeah, you know, I mean, we could have had a bit of fun with that. My nomination for Tamlang Bobby, that is out there as well. Right, so let's get into the football then, gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind. First of all, I'll come to you, Graham. What was your first match and how did you get along to supporting the Bairns?
I think my first match was, funny enough, I used to stand in the away end, just at the... It was actually the north enclosure. The reason I actually stood there was actually almost to touch Stuart Kennedy going up that wing. one of the finest fullbacks I've ever seen in my life. I love Stuart to bits. I mean, I know he was a publican on the east side, so I used to have long chats. We'd probably bored the hell out of him, but what a player that was. So I think it was against Morton. I said Stuart Kennedy was there. The team before that, Alec Taunton was playing for it as well. That was the first game. That was my first game. But I used to stand just on the north side just to get close to my idol. And then, obviously, moving on from that, you know, the McAllister years is obviously one of my favourite players. And then recently, it's got to be Cal Morrison for me. I know he's a player that Kevin respects for taking on players as one of the most exciting players presently at the club. It was actually my mum was from Bonnybridge and my dad was from Bannockburn, so they're both teachers, so they both moved to Falkirk in 1963. My brother, you might know my brothers, Alan Neil, fervent Falkirk fans, my son's a Falkirk fan, and it was my grandfather that took me to Brockwell. He stayed in Bonnybridge, and that's what started me. My two brothers must take most of the credit, so that's my history.
Brilliant. Paddy, you're a wee bit younger. What about you?
So first game I was at was Vidoos. Don't remember it at all. Too young, sadly. But after that, a couple of years later, it was Raith Rovers. So I don't actually come from a Falkirk supporting family at all. It's, my dad was a Celtic fan. And he made the mistake of taking me along to Falkirk Raith Rovers. It was 0-0 on a Tuesday night. Bad weather. And that was me hooked. And I just begged to get taken along to as many games as possible after that. And then for Reid season, Falkirk Herald did a competition to win 4 free season tickets. Entered that, won that, and then had one ever since. So
ideal. Amazing. How good is that, though? Your first game is like a Europa League.
the first time Falkirk have ever been in Europe, and Paddy's first game is that. That's tremendous.
Yeah, maybe set unrealistic expectations, but...
You know. That makes me feel very old, though, Paddy, I have to say. Who's your favourite player then, Paddy?
Two for me, so if I'm allowed to pick two. I used to play in goals when I was a kid, and in primary six I did a solo talk on somebody we looked up to, so naturally being a Falkirk fan and a goalkeeper, picked Michael McGovern, so wrote my letter to ask him a few questions, and then put my phone number on the bottom of that, and then my dad comes into the living room one night and says, Paddy, Michael McGovern's on the phone for you.
So wow!
Sent me signed gloves, so that was brilliant. So he'll always be a favourite. And then the other would be Will Volks. So I like the narrative of him coming up and almost playing for free to get a contract and then eventually earning a proper contract after that. I like the fact that, you know, if you pick the ball up in opposition's third, you're just one blink away from missing it going in the net. That excitement when he picks it up. And also that everything he did in the community as well. I remember playing for one of the foundation teams and he came in, took a training session. And celebration's no bad either. So
I know. I think in these days, I think when you talk about your great Falkirk 11s, Will Volks is a big argument to go into that central midfield area if you're playing that way, isn't he? Because there's a lot of great midfielders, but I mean, Will Volks, and you see the career he's had after Falkirk, you know, he's definitely in the frame for getting into a Falkirk greats 11.
As Paddy said, though, like as soon as he got the ball, there was like that gasp of,
yeah, there was that
like taken, like, yeah, what's he going to do?
When the crowd starts to shout shoot when somebody's mouth's out, because you never know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
No, absolutely standing player, absolutely standing. Let's talk football then. Two matches to talk about on this week's show. Let's start on Tuesday night. Falkirk 3, Montrose 0. Three changes, as we suspected there would be after the win against Accies. Shanley came in, as did Ethan Ross and Sean Mackey for McKeever, Calvin Miller and Leon McCann. Not surprising, Ross.
No, I think the Saturday was such a big day, a big game, and it was understandable if some of the players were feeling it after that, because obviously the boys will keep us right. But I think even after, like if we're playing on a Tuesday like we were, the players actually come in on a Sunday then, don't they, to sort of recover. Yeah, so I can understand some changes being made. I've liked the look of Shanley since he signed, so it was great to see him get a chance. And obviously, I know we're going to it in a second, but he was very unlucky not to get on the score sheet against Montrose as well. And Ethan Ross has just been biding his time, coming on and doing really, really well. And it's always good to see Sean Mackey and his hairband, as Graham mentioned too. So yeah, no, really good. A few changes, but you still thought we would be well enough for the win.
I don't know what you thought, Graham, but I found it a really weird match. It almost at times felt like a training game.
I thought it was just a very measured performance. I was up at the November game. We were lucky enough to be asked, invited onto the team bus for that game. So it was at -5, going of a gale and snow in November, and it was a really tough match. It was a battle. And I think with a bigger pitch, slightly better weather, I think it was just a measured performance by the boys. I just want to be shout out for Gary Oliver, by the way. I think he's come back in and did really, really well as well. It was a measured performance. But I think John probably went into that knowing how tough it was going to be. And his tactics were spot on. But all I can say is that the noises from the dressing room, Paddy will know this, they're absolutely jumping at the moment. Honestly, sometimes you've got to close the door. They're just so happy.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge result, Paddy, getting to that point where you're then going, we're 14 points clear now. And Montrose, you've seen us against Montrose in the last few seasons, and it's always that it looked so easy against them this time.
Yeah, no, we're actually just having a conversation with Jamie on the Monday or Tuesday, and in the games where we had beat them since we come down, there'd never been more than a one goal margin. So to do it and what was actually quite comfortable, and also get more minutes, like you say, to the guys that haven't played as much, it was just really pleasing, you know. And then it was extending the lead to 14 points. That was massive.
I mean, the first goal was an absolute wonder own goal. I have no idea how he managed that. I mean, only a Brazilian could manage an own goal like that. It was absolutely incredible, Ross. It was like, I don't know if it was his thigh or his knee it came off of.
It felt like it came off about three elements of his leg. So I'm not really sure. Even when you watch the replay back time and time again, I'm still not 100% sure as to what part of his body it came off. But he couldn't do it again. You know,
No one could do that.
But it was well deserved. Like, I know it was early on, but all the pressure was on, like, was us. So it was well deserved, even after only what, 4 or 5 minutes.
Like you say, we didn't ever. It felt like we didn't come out of third gear, Paddy, for the match. I don't know. It just felt like we were just coasting it. I have to say, I really like the look of Ethan Ross. I see the way he just glides on that ball and beats a man. He just glides across the pitch, and I really like the looks of Ethan Ross. I hope it's a player that we can hold on to. Ethan Ross set up, obviously, the own goal. He played his hand in the second goal as well, down the left. I thought him and Sean Mackey looked good down that side, Paddy.
Yeah, they were good. But just to go back to Ross, every time he picks the ball up, he's positive, he's running at pace.
Yeah.
And I know we'll get to yesterday as well, but it was the exact same when he played yesterday. And then, yeah, like you say, it was good to see Mackey coming in, and what an assist as well, and good finish for the second.
Yeah, Mackey was up and down. You know, he's not had a lot of game time, but you could tell as well. I love that cross that he tried to skewed right out. It was like he tried to get his foot round it and get a ball in. It just went straight ahead. It was brilliant. But you could tell he was maybe shorter. But Ross, I thought Sean Mackey looked really comfortable at left back.
Yeah, no, I thought he played great on Tuesday night. And you know, fair play to him, because obviously Leon's made that position his own. He really has. And it must be tough to sit and watch, especially when you're fit. It must be tough to watch someone else just absolutely smash it week in, week out, like Leon has. But he came in and he didn't do himself any harm at all. And as you say, he not only defensively, he was very, very solid, but he got up and down the wing, which you were hoping he was going to be able to do as well, because that's what we've come kind of used to this season.
It shows you the depth we've got as well. You know, we can bring on guys like this and they're absolutely not out of place at all.
Yeah,
it's maybe something we didn't have to such a great extent last season. And yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah.
Sean Mackey, I think he was always a favourite. I think when that tackle at the Hibs match, the League Cup match, he's going to be after that forever. And it's great to see him get his chance. And that passing for Nisbet's goal was fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, we just looked so comfortable. You know, we went with 2-0 again, like the ball went in. Aidan Nesbitt really worked goal. And there was Aidan, who's been excellent this season as well, just worked so hard for the team, and obviously coming back into the side. So that was it, 2-0 up. And then we had the goal chopped off. Felt sorry for Ryan Shanley as well. I thought, again, he looked very comfortable coming into that role, Ross.
He did, yeah. I really, really like the look of him. The guys will maybe confirm. I think he's still got there's another year potentially that he may stay. I don't know if that's on our side or on his side. I'm not sure, but I would like to see him stay within the squad, because I think he's definitely got something about him. He looks sharp. He looks very, very interested. He's different to Ross McKeever as well. But yeah, it was just really unfortunate. It looks onside to me. But then every Falkirk goal that gets chopped off looks...
I'm assuming it was Hendo that was offside when or was he offside for the cross? I don't know, because it looked like he came from behind the ball, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, you know, we came out, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if that goal hadn't been chopped off, because I think we might have got a bit more. I mean, we did have the chances in that second half as well. Everyone, I think, in the stadium was screaming at Ross McKeever to square it for Dylan Tate. And then he went inside and tried to take it on his own. But like, everyone was like, I don't know if he just couldn't get his foot around it or whatever. But it's like, Jesus, Ross, when he came on. But yeah, I mean, we got the goal pretty much in the last minute. It was well won by the defence. I can't remember who was it that made the tackle, but what a great tackle it was to win it back. And then Brad Spencer just did Brad Spencer things. Played through it all over. And big Gary Goals himself, like, great finish. And we were saying, Ross, like, Gary Oliver, I think, is really underrated in that respect. His finishing is excellent. It really is.
Yeah, no, he is. And again, like if you think about the similar situation in Mackey, he's obviously not been a first name in a team sheet type player this year. But when he gets on, he always looks interested. He always looks eager as hell to get a goal, and he gets involved. Doesn't always play in that position either. He's almost in the 10 role when he comes on as well, isn't he? So the fact that he gets these goals in such good positions, absolutely fair play to him. And obviously that made it 3-0, which as a coincidence, John McGlynn said it was going to be 3-0 and he's when he was talking about the game and the build up. So fair play to John for getting that spot on as well.
Yeah, he should have put money on it. Should have put money on it.
I don't think he's allowed.
No. We should have. I'm not talking about John. I'm like, we should have.
Oh, we should have. Yeah.
That's aye, good God. Aye. So, listen, I think it's as comfortable as a performance we've seen against Montrose. I don't think it's denying that.
They didn't really lay a glove on us. It was straightforward, tick the box.
I think they did look a bit more comfortable when their like experienced players came in. Paul Watson just came on and looked like he wanted to take bodies when he came on the park. I was like, he would just look like he was there to just take bodies when he came on the park. But
he
when
was he played, big lad, wasn't he?
He is. I think it's his testimonial year this year as well at Montrose as well. But you know, I think when they brought in their experience, they looked a bit more. But you can see that, you know, they were resting players obviously for game yesterday, which was. Actually, has it paid off for them? Probably, yeah.
Probably, maybe.
But yeah, less about Montrose. But yeah, that equaled 26 games unbeaten in the league, Ross.
It did. So at that point, yeah, so 26 games unbeaten in the league after Montrose. And if the information in my head is right, that equaled the stat from the mid-90s under Jim Jeffries. So absolutely fantastic. 26 games unbeaten. Obviously, the last two were, two of the 26 were the last two regular games last year. But listen, they all count. And how much longer can we keep it going? That's going to be the key, isn't it?
Well, yeah, we certainly kept it going against Kelty yesterday. Falkirk 1, Kelty Hearts 0. Thomas Lang with a thunderous header. We rang the changes again from Tuesday. So Bislam came in to give him a chance. Leon McCann was back in. Dylan Tate got a run out. Alfie got a run out as well. Gary Oliver got a start as well after his goal. Calvin Miller came back into the side and Ross McKeever as well. And we don't know. Was there a couple of, you guys will have the inside scoop. Was there a couple? Obviously, Callum wasn't on the bench. We don't know how much.
Yeah, that was a total shock to me, Callum Morrison being out. But I thought Alfie equipped himself really well.
Yeah.
It was a really good course control. And it was a threat on that right-hand side. So, thanks, Alfie.
Yeah. Do we think the other changes, was it just Yeats, I think, and Hendel took a bit of a bruising on the Tuesday night game? There's nothing, we've not had any major issues with those guys, have we?
It used to be rotation, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Callum will have hurt his wrist signing his new deal on Friday.
That's what it'll be. Exactly. But no, you know, hopefully he's not injured for long, and he can get back into the team. But I wasn't at the match. Alfie play well then, Ross?
I thought so. Yeah, he was very energetic as
very Alfie. Very Alfie. I just love the chaos that man brings.
He does bring chaos.
Yeah. He just brings chaos to any match. Just like you send on Alfie, and I'm just like going, here just comes chaos, because you just don't know what the big man's going to do. And he's just out. I just love it. I just love watching Alfie Agyeman play football.
Yeah. It was interesting because obviously he doesn't start too many games, or he hasn't in a while. He's not started too many games. So it was interesting to see, he came right out the blocks, early doors. He was probably, because obviously it was quite heavy with Kelty chances early on in the game, but he, from a Falkirk perspective, he was probably our brightest sort of attack-minded player in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes.
Ross, can I ask you a question? Did you see Cole Donnelly's nifty footwork in the second half?
Yes, it was phenomenal.
That was
for about 30 seconds, didn't he? He did.
I know, I was Agyeman-esque. Cole Donaldson bringing the chaos. And like you say, Kelty came out the blocks flying. I mean, they could have been 2-0 up within that first 10 minutes. Nicky Hogarth, fair play to him, really good saves. And we've said, you know, along Nicky is a very competent goalkeeper when it comes to shot stopping. Paddy,
both goalkeepers have been brilliant, but I was potentially Nicky's best game in a full-cut shirt. Certainly, if you go a goal or maybe even two down early on, we're all at the Edinburgh game. We know that it can then become quite hard to win it after that. But kept it a 0-0, and then eventually when we do take the lead, I know it was only 1-0 after that, but it was fairly comfortable. But anyone that watched the game, obviously the red card helped that. But if Nicky doesn't make those saves, it could be very different.
Yeah. We got the goal though, you know, and it was Tam the man that got it. Again, we've done really well from set pieces this year, and it was another set piece in at the back post from a Miller, the cross after a short corner, and there was big Tam nodding it into the goal. Really good header from him, and he's weighed in with a good few goals this season, Ross.
He has all very similar type goals as well, hasn't he?
Like, apart from the one at Annan, which is an absolute peach.
Well, yes, that's true. That was an absolute belter. Swung his boot at that one. The guys, though, I don't know where, obviously, Graham, you were in hospitality, so you were maybe in the stand, but there was a properly delayed reaction from the terrace where I was standing, because you didn't know until Tam started running away, you didn't know it was in. Because like the keeper almost pammed it into the side netting, so you couldn't see it sort of ruffle or anything like that. So until Tam was given the Superman celebration, we didn't really he'd score. You would have a better view of it than us.
Ross, it was quite a good view. Yeah, it reminded me of a yogi ghosting in from behind, or even going back many years, Jockey Whiteford. Not exactly the tallest, but the timing and the bravery to get on the end of these, Tom is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, he's an absolute player, absolute player. And he could, you know, he could have had another one as well later on in the game as well. From again, he's a real threat at set pieces. In fact, like I say, we've been a real threat at set pieces this season. We've had threats from set pieces as well, because we're not the greatest at defending them at times. But again, we had another one where in our corner, and McKeever's unlucky. It came off the bit, and it's one of those ones that's just come down on the goal line, and everyone's like, is it over the line or not? But it definitely wasn't over the line.
It was almost identical to Lang said on the Tuesday night, exact same delivery in from the same side, and obviously hit the bar. But like you say, we were dangerous with set pieces the whole game. Alfie had one in the second half, Torward one in the second half again, so real threat for that.
Yeah, big call as well, had a chance later on in the game too from a corner as well. But it was just, like, granted they had the early pressure, John, but I think we had the far better chances. Like, Hogarth was phenomenal, and I agree with Paddy, I think that was his best game in a Falkirk shirt so far. And without his saves, it's potentially a very, very different day. But we did get a stamp on the game. Obviously, as you said, the red card helps you in that regard, and it was a stonewall like red card.
Do you think it was a stonewall red card, Ross? I mean,
the initial challenge probably not, but then he put his hand in McCann's face and threw him at the ground. So for me, yes, it's for that part, it's a red card. But the guy was speeding in. Paddy, I don't know where you were standing, but from our position behind the goal, like McCann was shepherding the ball out. And the speed that Johnson, wasn't it? The speed that he was running in at, there was no way his intention was just to keep the ball in. He was taking the man at the same time. And it was a bit really quite poor, if I'm being honest, because he not only threw, sort of grappled Leon to the ground, but then Leon obviously got back up quite sharpish, and the guy just stuck his hand and shoved him to the ground. So for me, it was a red card.
Yeah, do you boys agree?
So couldn't actually see it at the time from where I was behind the goals. It was one of those ones where it was over in the corner and everyone kind of sticks their head round to see, and then that blocked my view. But I haven't seen it back. Yeah, completely agree with Ross.
I didn't see it.
it seemed to change the game. Like you say, Ross, it kind of all fell in our favour. You talked about Donaldson from the corner. Was it over the line? I mean, you had a good view of that, Ross.
It looked over from her. The keeper, obviously, who was brilliant, by the way, their keeper, obviously.
Gourley, I've been really impressed by Gourley, actually, whenever I've seen him in the steps for Kelly. Definitely want to keep an eye on.
he was getting a fair amount of stick from the ultras behind the goals, to be honest. Not really sure what the chat is. It's something about a car. But they were having a go at him for something.
I think from what I could tell, it was to do with his car being stolen. Don't know anything else.
Oh, right, okay.
The gist that I got.
Because there was car chat, and I'm like, I don't get the reference there, but fair play to him, because he kept the scoreline from being about 7 or 8 goals down to just the one. But yeah, it looked because we were almost right behind the goals, and it did look like the keeper had sort of scooped it out. The lino at that side though was particularly hopeless all day, so I'm not surprised he's either missed it or chosen it.
There's a lot of bodies in there as well, so he might not have had a clear. Well,
there was, and he was on the short side. Like, did you see the height of the linesman? He was about 4 foot.
Plenty of chances in the game, but I mean, there was a couple of breakaway chances that Celtic could have had just near the end as well, and it's that way where they're getting corners, and you're thinking, oh God, is it going to be 1-1? I mean, the fact of the matter is we can afford to drop points now at this, where we're at with 17 points, but you just don't want that to happen. And I think Falkirk were well deserved of the win, were they not?
Yeah, definitely.
It was a wee bit more nerving than it could have been, but like you said, we deserved it, and we'll take that.
No, absolutely. 3 points down the road. Who stood out for you guys in that game then, out of everyone that was playing? Who were the kind of standouts?
Hogarth, obviously, we spoke about him, but Tate was also just really calm on the ball, never looked under pressure, so I'd give top marks to him as well.
Yeah. I watched Michael Tidser's interview afterwards, and he said the officiating was horrendous. I mean, obviously we'd do if he's had a man red carded, but he actually said he didn't see it. I wonder if he's went back and watched the video and went, okay, it's a red card. But he said for both sides he thought the official was terrible.
I'm going to say something that the boys probably can't say, right? Tidser was in the ref's ear all day, and it was the same at the Falkirk Stadium in December. He talks to the refs all the way through, and I think the refs at this level are a wee bit suggestible, right? And for Pidzer to say that he thought the refereeing was poor, they got the majority of the decisions apart from the sending off yesterday. Like, the ref's hand barely went our way, so I'm not sure what game Tidzer was watching, because it wasn't that. But to go back to your question, John, I agree with Paddy. I think Hogarth, best game in a Falkirk shirt, and Dylan Tate, as he was just class all game.
Definitely.
Yeah. But shout out to Ross McKeever. I thought Ross McKeever played a nice controlled match with measured passing. And I want to hear more of that tequila song. And one of our volunteers says that she's got a saxophonist that can play tequila, and hopefully we can have a party at some stage and they can play that song.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Like the last game of the season, get him on. Absolutely.
That'd be brilliant. Oh, brilliant. But you know, we said 26 unbeaten, that's a new club record then. 27 unbeaten games of just since the 90s, 27 unbeaten league games. Log may it continue. Let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the game against Kelly.
John, another win, another 3 points. Maybe not the prettiest, but at the end of the day, the 3 points is all that counts.
Yeah, it was a better struggle today. Got Nicky to thank in the opening sort of 50 minutes or so. Made a couple of good saves. And at the end of the day, that's what they're there for. Everyone's got to play their part, you know. We would have preferred not to have been given up opportunities, but, you know, Kelty are they're actually a good side, you know. They've been playing good football. We've seen that in our pre-match analyst that we've been... you know, they can knock the ball about, and they did create a couple of openings, and one right from the kickoff, which was obviously caught our guys out at the back. So fair play to Kelly in the opening 15 minutes. Certainly, they could have got themselves a couple of goals, barring Nicky making a couple of good saves. But then I thought after that, we came into the game, the goal obviously settled us down, and with a man getting sent off just before half time, the second half, it was kind of like one-way traffic. However, you know, whenever we got that second goal, and when it goes to like a corner kick in the dying minutes of injury time, then anything can happen. So, a bit of a struggle today, but, you know, I'm taking a bigger picture. If you take it from last Saturday, Hamilton, and then midweek, Montrose, and then today, we've picked up 9 points. You can't get any more than that, you know. So we're delighted that this week, on the back of that, Callum signing his new contract, Leon signing their new contract, has been a magnificent week for the football club.
Yeah, you said pre-match that you were expecting a tough game. However, I think we probably could have had a couple more today had it not been for how good Gourlay was in the Kelty Hearts goal.
Yeah, deservedly man of the match. Heard him get man of the match, certainly from the Kelty point of view. And yeah, very worthy of that. Yeah, he did make some good saves, absolutely. Some balls cleared off the line as well. So yeah, I think if we got the second goal early enough in the second half, you know, we probably would have scored three or four. But fair play, you know, goalies here to make saves. And also thought their boys defended really well and put their head on things and managed to clear things. And it just wasn't any kind of day in front of goal. But boys worked hard. You know, the pitch is very tight here, so it's, you know, get an awful lot of time in the ball. You know, we at home, we, you know, we get a little bit more with the size of the pitch, and the pitch, our pitch being a little bit better as well. So a tricky away game. It is a tricky away game, and we're delighted to go to here with all 3 points.
3 points down the road, but my big question is, was that a man bag that John McGlynn had? Has John McGlynn got a man bag? He's not the kind of guy I would think would have a man bag. And if it is a man bag, what is in John McGlynn's man bag? That is the question I'm asking.
That's maybe the competition question that would change. What's in John McGlynn's man bag?
I've never seen that before. He must have been wanting to get up the road for the Masked Singer. Was that on last night? I don't even know if that was that it was on.
And a deck.
And Saturday Night's Takeaway. I must be. Or maybe he's a fan of Gladiators. He just wanted, come on, I want to get these questions done and up the road to watch the Gladiators. But yeah, no, like 3 points is the most important thing. And like we say, 17 points clear. I mean, I'm going to have to Google, is there any team that's been 17 points clear? There's 33 points. 36, 12 games to go, is that right? No, 11 games to go, isn't it?
11, 33 points.
So 33 points to play for. So I don't think Hamilton are going to win every game either, by the looks of it.
Hamilton don't look like they could win another game.
I know. I mean, they're obviously, Alloa are now closer to them than they are to us. Alloa are only 7 points away from them now. So it just sounds so good, 17 points. Surely we can't blow it. No, we can't. We can't. But I'm not going to say anything.
Well, I'll say it for you, George.
I know you'll say it for me, but I'm not saying anything until it's done. Anyway, let's see what you guys had to say. While he kicks us off, he says, I thought Hogarth was man of the match. He was inspirational in keeping us in the game in the first 15 minutes.
He was indeed. Craig says, Dylan Tate is magic. That's all.
That's more than enough today. Grant, not at our best, but we've got the job done, and that's the mark of champions. We're now at the point in the season where the results mean more than the performance, as now it's all about keeping it going and getting the title wrapped up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully sooner, yeah. Paul says, played okay first half, thought Ethan Ross and Aidan Nesbitt made a huge difference when they came on. Could have scored more, but the woodwork and deflections went against us. Can we also talk about Donaldson's silky skills in the box towards the end of the match, just as Graham mentioned? Thought for a minute he was going to score one of the goals of the season.
I mean, if he'd managed to score for that angle after beating those men, it'd be no question goal of the season. To be fair, I think Cole Donaldson might end up with goal of the season anyway, but the big man's got some feet for him. I mean, you saw it when he won the penalty against Edinburgh as well. Unbelievable. Silky big call. Dougie says, we win and go 17 points clear. No more words need. Oh, and my boy got the armband. Congratulations, Dougie, one of our former pundits as well, wasn't he?
He was. He was absolutely delighted. We got tagged in the pictures quite quickly after the game yesterday.
Yeah, so. I saw the boy. I think it's Dylan's boy, and he was wearing the Falkirk Daft t-shirt as well. So
he did. He had one of our merch, which is available.
You can buy all your Falkirk Daft merch. See, we're not the only. You guys aren't the only salespeople around here. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. A wide range of Falkirk Daft things you can buy. Dog bandanas, baby grows, t-shirts, hoodies, you can get it all. merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Just let me know when you want to join the commercial team, boys. No bother.
I don't ask me because I'll end up just covering hospitality every week. John says, did what we had to do to get the 3 points and down the road. At the start of the season, it was a question of who would blink first. However, I think Hamilton have fallen asleep.
And Craig says, we will not be stopped. That's the tweet. That's it.
And finally, Grant said, after three very physical games in 8 days where teams have come at us to lay the boot in, I'm happy with that performance. everyone done their job, and great to see Hogarth having a blinder. Also, Cole Donaldson's balls are made of steel. John, I don't know if you would have saw this in the highlights, but in the second half, one of the Kelty boys threw a crossover, and literally, I don't know how he managed to do it, but it literally, his chuckies put this ball out for a corner, right? And you could tell he was in agony. And he was just like squaring for about 45 seconds about how bad he was feeling.
It's one of these ones where he's so close to the way end, so you hear the sound of the impact.
Yeah.
And groan afterwards and expletives that follow. It looked nasty.
But it definitely looked nasty.
He got up and defended the corner perfectly.
Brilliant. Right now, gentlemen, I understand you work for the club, so you can abstain for this. I completely understand if you do. Right, okay, who's your Falkirk Daft Righty player? And we're taking both the Montrose and the Kelty game into consideration here, Ross.
So I can't have one each. It's got to be a joint.
Got to be a joint decision who's been the best. In fact, do you know what? I'll give you one each because I think it's unfair because the team's got changed so much over the game. So I'll give you one each. Okay, so go Montrose first.
Right. Montrose, I thought he was everywhere. I'm going to say Ethan Ross for Montrose. And Falkirk Daft Righty for yesterday, I'm going to go Nicky Hogarth because without his saves, it's a different game.
Paddy, do you want to vote or are you going to abstain?
I'll abstain on this one.
Right, okay. And Graham, do you want to put your tuppence worth in?
I'm going to go for Gary Oliver because he's waiting for his time to come in and he's got a fantastic goal. And yesterday I've got to agree with Paddy. Nicky Hogarth was superb. And he's been making some great saves against overhead kicks at the vital time. So well done, Nicky.
Yeah, good. I'm going to agree with Ross from Montrose, and I wasn't there yesterday, but I thought Ethan Ross, I just love the way he runs with the ball and glide. It just glides. I love it, love that. So Ethan Ross, I think, give him that one. Right, Falkirk Daftie now. I assume you two aren't going to get involved in this one. Ross, who got Falkirk Daftie first from Montrose?
First from Montrose is a suggestion from the Daftie of the week in person. John goes on, at 9:10 on Tuesday night, I got a message from Jack Cochran, who, as we know, is the stadium announcer. And he says, I had no fecking clue who scored the own goal before that. John McNally gives me the Daftie of the week. Please warn him now. However, he didn't know the name of the scorer, so I think we're going to go with Jack Cochran as the Daftie.
There you go, Jack. Well done. I mean, you let yourself into that. I didn't even notice that. It was Mikado. I did notice that he said... I think he said in the announcement it was Ethan Ross that put the ball in. I think he announced the assist for it, but well done, Jack. You got yourself into that one, Jack. What about yesterday, Ross?
There was one player who I thought didn't have that great a game, although I might be in a minority here. I didn't think Bisland had a great defensive game.
It's really interesting. I've seen a real split on our social media when it comes to Bisland. People saying he was really good, and then other people saying he wasn't great. And then I listened to his interview after the match as well, and he seemed to think.
Do you know what it was for me? I thought going forward, he did really well. Like he got up and down the wing, and the second half especially, his confidence must have grew. But in the first half, see all these chances that Kelty had, they were all coming down his wing, unfortunately. And do you know what it could be? It could just be that he's not got that relationship with Alfie. Because if you think back to a normal game, Finn and Callum are just so tight with each other. They know what each other's doing. There's a real sort of relationship, an ongoing relationship there. It might just have been because it's new. It might have been that. But yeah, a lot of the Kelty chances kind of came down his wing. So unfortunately, I'm going to give it to Bisland.
Right, there you go. I won't ask you boys to give us a Daftie. I'll let you off for that one. Great, brilliant. Boys, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. Great to get an insight into the commercial team and how it works. And if you want to buy anything from either Paddy or Graham, get in touch with them. They will sell you literally anything that you want. You can have it all, or you can have just a little bit. Listen, boys, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time for coming on.
Thanks for having us. Pleasure's all ours.
If you want to be a guest pundit, we're running out of games now. We've got 11 to go. We've got a few guest pundits lined up for the next few weeks, but I think we've still got some slots available up to the end of the season. We'd love to have you on, especially if it's going to keep going like this. drop us a DM, Twitter, Facebook, or you can email us, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Once again, we've got to thank Norris Landscapes for sponsoring this week's edition of Falkirk Daft. If you want to get your garden sorted at the springtime, speak to Liam, who obviously is part of the grooming staff at the club, and you can they'll provide a whole range of services from grass cutting to lawn care to aeration, cleanups, reseeding, all that. Get him, and all the details are below if you want to get Liam to come around and sort your garden out. But let's look ahead to Annan Ross, and we've had it pretty easy this season against them, haven't we?
We have. Six goals scored, none against, I think, so far. So I would take another 3-0 Saturday, to be honest. That would be absolutely lovely. However, Annan have picked up a bit of form. They're a bit hit and miss. Like, they seem to be sort of winning one week, getting beat, winning one week, getting beat again. But they obviously beat Aki's a couple of weeks back, which has given them a bit of confidence as well. And I was having a wee look on the form table. They're up to about fourth on the form table for the last sort of 10 games. So they're obviously doing something. They're doing something right. So, but listen, I know we keep saying this all the time. The only reason we won't win a football game this year is if it's down to us not turning up or not doing what we should be doing. I genuinely think, though, it could be another 3-0, hopefully, would be lovely.
I mean, they're still rooted in that kind of playoff spot. They've got no chance of going straight down, but they're in that playoff spot. I mean, a good result there at the weekend, however, against them. They got beat at the weekend, but like you say, you know, they had that result against Hamilton. They will be looking to try and get Claw back at Stirling, who are just they're 7 points above Stirling, so there's a bit to Claw back, and they'll be looking. And like we say every time, there's a target on our backs to be the first team to take this unbeaten run away from us. So there is that target in the bats that you've got to work out for, but I just think we just look too strong this season, and you know, I don't see anything but a Falkirk win here.
Yeah, no, I'm of the same opinion, John. They sounds like they were unlucky against Cove yesterday. They were 1-0, so they obviously took the lead against them, but unfortunately lost 2-1. But we do have a target on our back, but it feels like we are part of some relentless sort of juggernaut that is heading towards this league title, and it feels like it's going to be soon. Obviously, we can't predict what other teams do, but if we continue to do as we have been doing, then at some point in March, we should be getting this nailed on.
And March, then, do you think it's going to be March?
Mate, I do. I really do. And I'm basing that on our form and obviously the form of Aki's. Granted, at some point, Alloa on current form will overtake Aki's in second place. in the next few weeks, potentially. A friend of the podcast messaged me earlier on, and he was saying to me, he's a bit of a statistician, a bit of a mathematician as well. And what he was saying to me is, Falkirk win the next, this sounds mental when you think Stirling Albion's 2 weeks away, right? He said to me, if we win our three games in the next 2 weeks, so Annan, Cove on the Tuesday night, and then Stirling, so that's three games. He said if we win that and Aki's only pick up 1 point in the same three games, we will win the league away to Stirling Albion on the 9th of March. That is insane if that happens. But would you bet against it just now on our form and Aki's form? I don't think you can.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can, but you know, you just worry. Cove away is going to be a tough game. It was tough, you know, at the start of the season. The good thing, I mean, they're a full-time team as well. So, you know, they're not going to have that travelling thing. We're going to be travelling.
Well, some of them won't, because they're hybrid, aren't they?
Yeah, they're hybrid. So, so that's going to be a tough test. But like you say, we can even afford to drop points now. We're at that point when you could do,
but yeah, we wouldn't want to, because like I think the players have probably got to the into their head now. Listen, it's March and
we're unbeaten.
what I mean. Like, you want to keep that going. And, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying that we're going to win the league against Stirling Albion, because, like, there's loads of ifs, buts and maybes for that to happen. But do I think it'll be in March? Yes, I do. And I think when you look at the March fixtures, we've obviously got Annan next week, Stirling the week after. You're then getting into some really real territory that it might happen. So you've got Queen of the South away the following week, Edinburgh at home. How good would a full house at home Edinburgh be to clinch it? That would be amazing. And then we finish off the month away up at Montrose, which is always a brilliant away day anyway. Mm-hmm. But again,
that's on the telly, yeah.
It's on TV. See the two games on TV, and I know it's tough when there's so many away games, and we've got loads of away games in March, right? But even though it's on TV, if people can go to the games, you can see how much it means to the players when there's like 1,000 or 2,000 Falkirk fans in the ground. They do appreciate it. They do get that lift from it as well. So if people can go, even with it being on TV, try and get along, because you never know what game it's going to be as well. And there'll be, as the weeks progress, it could actually happen when you least expect it, because you could be winning a game and then Aki's or Aloha, whoever it is, maybe end up losing a game that they shouldn't be losing, and then you've won it and you're not there. Or do you know what I mean? So it's a tough.
I don't care if I'm there or not, I'll be honest with you. As long as we win it, I don't give if I'm not there, it doesn't matter. As long as we win it and I can enjoy my rest of my season. I'm at tenderhooks. I'm like sitting here like, right, 11 points to gain, 33 points. Doing the math, right, oh, this case that happens and all that sort of stuff happens. Everyone I've spoke to, right, across this week, I obviously work at Super Scoreboard, so we've had all the pundits, and they're all been coming on saying, oh, well done, John, that's you won the league. But I'm like, no, it's no. So I was like, to Jim Duffy, who was in the other day, I was like, Jim, have you ever heard anyone to blow a 14-point lead? He's like, shut up, John. You're all right. You're fine. But I'm keep questioning myself. I think it's just the basis of being a Falkirk supporter, you know?
See, the thing is, right, I want it just to be done as well. I want us to start. I want it done. I want out of this league. I want us to be planning for next year as well.
Yeah.
But in terms of me being there, I'm at that stage where we've just had 5 years of shit. And I just, like, I kind of feel as if I want to be there because of everything that we've had to go through. And I know it's self-inflicted. The club are where we are because it's the club, right? But that's not the fans that have done that. It's not the fans that have got us to where we are. The fans have stuck by the club, the team. And it would just be amazing if for as many people that can see it. It'd be great if it's a home game, but if it's an away game, it's an away game. But Edinburgh at home at the end of the month or towards the end of March would be a nice fitting place if we could win it then as well.
Yeah, it'd be good to win it at home. It would be good to win it at home. And just, you can imagine the outpouring that's going to come, just like, and but obviously teams like Esher, Airdrie and Dunfermline going, oh, haha, you know, laughing at us if we go and celebrate, because there will be scenes, but it's been five.
Well, it's relief. It's relief.
It'll be absolute relief more than like celebrate. It'll just be like relief. Like, I'll be like, oh, thank God that's done. But let's hope we can get off to a start against Annan at the weekend. Tommy Goss is a player that I talked about in this podcast, which I think is a really, really good player for them. Want to be watched. But, you know, if we've got Tom and Cole fit, I have no worries that they can just slide into,
as they have done, pockets.
Exactly. It's just they're just so comfortable at the back, and just huge players for us this season. Right, what you score then, Ross? You going for 3-0?
I'm going to go 3-0. Comfortable 3-0. Yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 as well, actually. I quite fancy that. Well, again, I think McGlynn's now in his head, kind of got in his head, and that rotation and just keeping using the squad. I'd probably like to see us, though, Annan at home, going with the tried and tested 11. If Morrison's fit, I don't know if he's not going to, you maybe don't want to risk Morrison if he's missed the Celtic game. In arguments, played well on all accounts. You just keep argument in there for Dannon game. I love argument, love him, love watching him. So,
as you said, chaos is like
chaos.
I don't know if it has a nickname, but it should be chaos.
Captain Chaos, Alfie Argument. Absolutely love the boy. I turn on Fraser, who I sit next to, and I'm just like, here we go, brilliant. Bring on Aggie. Come on, just bring on the carnage, bring on the chaos. Love it. So I'll go for 3-0 as well. And fingers crossed, it's another step towards that championship.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft this week. Thank you very much for listening or watching. And remember, exciting news, Falkirk Daft Live is happening. Our Falkirk Daft end of season party, Friday 3rd of May at Behind the Wall. Tickets are on sale now. Check out the links below, as all the YouTubers say. Get involved, quick that. £12.50 a ticket. It's going to be a night full of guests, full of beer, quizzing, prizes. Brilliant. It's going to be, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a good laugh, and we want to see you down there, all the four people that listen to this podcast. It's going to be hopefully a big celebration. Let's, fingers crossed, we've got the league title in the bag, and we're just having a great night and a great send-off to League One. Thank That would be amazing. So yeah, get your tickets in the links below. We also see links to our merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And remember, a special Falkirk Daft is happening this Thursday as well. Look out for it on your podcast feeds or YouTube. Hit that little bell button, you'll get the alert for when we've got videos coming up. Sam McGivern is our guest on Falkirk Daft Meets, and lots of great chat with him, Ross.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. As you said, I was fangirling almost the entire
time. You were generally, I was like me with Tamla, you were just absolutely.
I was. He's a massive, massive favourite of mine. And it was just great to kind of speak to him for an hour. We could have spoken to him. Yeah. He actually said the same. He messaged and said, listen, Ross,
we only really touched the surface with Sam. We could have spoken to him forever and ever. But yeah, no, great to chat to him, and lots of good funny stories as well. So look for that dropping it in the podcast feed this Thursday. And if you want to sponsor the show, if you want to get involved with the show, we'd love to have you on. You can drop us an email, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk, just like Norris Landscapes have done this week. Thank you once again to Liam and the team over there. If you're looking to get your garden or your grass done, Liam's number is below as well, so you can get in touch with him, get your garden sorted out, and you know it's going to be a Falkirk supporter come around. So none of these awkward conversations that you know when you have a labour and you're like, oh, I'll just run away. You can sit, make Liam a cup of tea and sit and batter about the bairns with him. So get that sorted out with Liam if you're looking to get your grass done. Like I say, all the details for Norris Landscapes are below. Right, on to Annan next. Ross, hopefully another 3 points. Hopefully Hamilton drop another few points, and we'll be 20 points clear with 10 games to go. And I'll keep doing the maths every week until it's mathematically impossible for us to lose the league. So I did read a statistic this week as well. Someone's statistician had done the numbers, and it's 99.8% confirmed that we won the league. I don't believe him, though. So
listen to Jim Duffy. Jim Duffy's the master. He's told you it's done.
Jim Duffy's told me it's done. Kenny Miller told me it's done. Everyone's told me it's done. I'm not believing it until it's done. But fingers crossed. Right, anyway, you can say it. Yous are all thinking it. We're all thinking it. But anyway, you just say your words and we'll get up the road. And we'll see you back here on Thursday for another Falkirk Daft.
Expect that, buddy.